Open the podcast bay door as hell.
Welcome to episode 17 of Welcome to Geek Town. I'm your host, Kurt Onsted. I've been a proud geek all my life, being into role-playing games, board games, sci-fi, fantasy, and especially superheroes and comics. And I want to help others join me in those pursuits. But I've found that sometimes people can get overwhelmed or feel left out because they don't already have what some consider the requisite knowledge to be considered a fan. And that's where Welcome to Geek Town comes in. Here, you can ask your questions without feeling like a gatekeeper is calling you out for not yet being fully versed in every aspect of your new interest. Before we get started, I wanted to point everyone to the Facebook page, facebook.com/welcometogeektown. Last episode's example of metagaming sparked some lively debate between myself and listener Aaron L. I love getting feedback on what you think I got right and what I got wrong, so be sure to check it out and put in your own two cents. This week, we have a question from Reddit user A.E. Willia. They want to know, quote, "What's the difference between a graphic novel and a comic book? And are there options for someone like me who enjoys fantasy and sci-fi novels and wants to read more about the Marvel Universe, but isn't particularly interested in the comic part of comic books as much as the book side?" Those are really two questions in one, but since they both have fairly short answers, we'll tackle them together. So let's start out by defining a comic book versus a graphic novel. I've seen some people define those in different ways, but I'm going with what I personally use as my definition, and what I've found to be the most common definitions for these terms, as well as a few others I'll be throwing into the mix. First off, all of these will fall under a larger umbrella we'll call sequential art. Will Eisner, one of the pioneers of comics as an art form, first proposed the term to describe any art that, quote, "uses images deployed in a specific order for the purpose of storytelling or conveying information," end quote. Comic books, graphic novels, comic strips, whether online or in print, some instruction manuals, and even as far back as cave paintings can be seen as examples of sequential art. Once you take in that definition, you'll see sequential art everywhere you look. We break down that larger definition into smaller categories, mostly by shape and size. A comic strip will be anywhere from a single panel, almost always with some sort of caption or word balloons to give a sense of time, to a dozen panels or so. These used to be almost entirely found in newspapers, but with the rise of the internet, a generation of artists and writers found their audiences online. Some of the most popular webcomics will get millions of regular readers from across the globe. Next up, we have comic books. Comic books are multi-page stories, usually somewhere around 22 pages long, that are staple-bound. Some specials and annuals will be longer than that, but 22 pages is typical for a regular monthly comic. These are what most people off the street will think of when they hear the words comic book, as this form has been around for decades. I've also heard this size be referred to as pamphlets or floppies to differentiate them from larger books, but I'm going to stick with comic books and use a different term for bigger volumes. Finally, we get to the square-bound books that are referred to as graphic novels. Quick personal interjection. One of my previous jobs was interviewing celebrities for syndicated radio, either one-on-one or at press junkets with a few other radio journalists. I was at the press junket for the movie Mystery Men, and the first question asked of Janeane Garofalo when she sat down at the table was, "Did you read the comics this movie was based on?" I was not the one who asked this question, but as she started to give her answer, she explained that she wasn't really a comics person, but that she read some graphic novels. At which point she turns to me and asks, "They call them graphic novels these days, right?" Apparently, she could tell just by looking at me, I was the one to ask. Well, Janeane, yes, they do call them graphic novels if they're big enough. Although, there are two types of graphic novels. If a story was originally published in this square-bound format, it's often referred to as an original graphic novel, or OGN for short. If the stories inside were originally printed as comic books and then collected into a graphic novel format, you'll most often hear those called trade paperbacks, or even just trades. A common phrase you'll hear at a comic book store from a regular customer is that he or she is waiting for the trade. This means they're putting off buying the individual comic books in a series and will get the trade paperback when it comes out. For a number of reasons, that's not always a good idea, but that's probably another episode. So that's comics versus graphic novels. But there was a second question asked, which is, how to read more about the Marvel Universe if you're someone who enjoys novels rather than graphic novels. Over the years, Marvel has made a few attempts at getting into purely written novels, in addition to comics, but none of them have been all that successful. Going all the way back to 1967, just 6 years after the Marvel Universe started, Captain America by himself, and with the Avengers, each had a story published by Bantam Books. A decade later, Pocket Books released nearly a dozen books. Many of these were written by writers of the comics at the time, including Marv Wolfman, Len Wein, and Paul Kupperberg. You can still find these occasionally in used bookstores. These original stories, not based on any particular comic issues, were fairly short, earning the Pocket name they carried on their cover, and were primarily aimed at younger readers. The first book in the series was released in March of 1978, but by October of 1979, the series had run its course. Other than a novelization of the infamous Howard the Duck movie, there were no more books based on Marvel characters for another 15 years. The next phase of their publishing venture started in 1994. The books that came out between then and 2010 were fairly evenly split between three different categories. There were the young adult novels, probably most similar to the pocketbooks of the late 70s. Then there were the novelizations of the various Marvel movies coming out. Now, the Marvel Cinematic Universe didn't start until 2008, so most of these fall outside of that. These include novelizations of the Spider-Man movies that starred Tobey Maguire, the first three X-Men movies, Blade, Fantastic Four, and others. Many of these were written by one of my personal favorite authors, Peter David, and I recommend checking them out if you can find copies. Finally, during this time, there were some actual full-length novels that came out. Most of these original stories were written either by comic book writers, like Kurt Busiek, Tom DeFalco, and Ann Nocenti, or writers of science fiction, including Greg Cox, Diane Duane, and Craigshaw Gardner. A number of these books came out as trilogies. These longer novels were shelved in the science fiction slash fantasy sections of bookstores and were aimed at an older audience, since comic readers these days are often adults. One standout of this era was written by Peter David, who I just mentioned a little bit ago, and is one of the rare Marvel novels that was released in hardcover format. It's called What Savage Beast, and is a story that could have fit right into his 12-year run on The Incredible Hulk, but is an original tale of its own, and includes chapter-heading illustrations from the superb pencils of George Perez. Starting in 2012, Marvel started adapting some of their big stories from the comics into novels. The first in this list was Civil War, one of the defining events of the Marvel Universe as it stands today. Most of these adaptations have stuck to storylines that were released in comic book form less than a decade before their novel came out. This includes stories like The Death of Captain America, Iron Man Extremis, the first New Avengers storyline, the first Astonishing X-Men arc, and Planet Hulk. Planet Hulk, interestingly, is the only one of these adaptations written by the same author as the original comic books it's based on. That's Greg Pak in this case. Marvel's also adapted some of their older stories, including Kraven's Last Hunt, X-Men Days of Future Past, the comic storyline, not the movie, and the 1985 version of Secret Wars. You'll also find some young adult books and a few original stories released as well between 2012 and now, especially in the last 2 years or so. So check your local bookstore, or Amazon.com if you must, and hopefully you can find something that draws your interest. While our Reddit user specifically asked about prose in the Marvel Universe, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that DC has had some similar experimentation with novels over the years, including adaptations of some of their big stories, like The Death and Return of Superman. Check out episode 15 for quite a few details on that storyline. The big Elseworlds project, Kingdom Come, and most of the various Crisis storylines. I talk about those stories a bit in episode 1. If you want to read about superheroes in general, and don't care if they come from the big two, you may be interested in checking out the Wild Card series of books, edited and featuring many stories by Game of Thrones creator George R.R. Martin. That covers the two-part question that A.E. Willia asked. This episode appears to still be on the shorter side, so let's take a look at another one of the big catchphrases, like we did last episode, to round things out. Recently, I was talking with a coworker, and the phrase, "With great power comes great responsibility," came up. And it turned out that while she had heard the phrase many times, she wasn't aware of where it came from, or at least where it gained prominence in pop culture. While you can find variations on that phrase in quotations from many politicians over the years, including Winston Churchill and both Presidents Roosevelt, it was in 1962 that Stan Lee penned those words in Amazing Fantasy number 15, the first appearance of Spider-Man, after Peter Parker learns that he could have prevented his uncle's death at the hands of the burglar by stopping him hours earlier. Since then, that phrase has been repeated many times by Spider-Man, both to himself during his many internal monologues, and as a lesson he teaches to other heroes over the years. It has spread throughout the Marvel Universe, with heroes who learn the phrase from Spider-Man going on to teach it to others. While it has since been retconned that Peter Parker heard these words from his Uncle Ben and took that lesson to heart, the actual quote in Amazing Fantasy 15 came from the narrator of the story and was never said by any character in it. Now, since I'm the one with the power to do so, it's my responsibility to end the podcast. But before we go, I want to remind you all that this podcast is powered by you and your questions. So please, let me know what you want to learn about next by sending an email to me at welcometogeektown@gmail.com. Or leave a comment directly on the show notes at www.welcometo, the number two for this one, geektown.com. Other contact options include facebook.com/welcometogeektown or Twitter @geektownpodcast. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe and give me a 5-star review over on iTunes to join the Geektown City Council, so you can help other people find the show and we can all tell them, welcome to Geektown, population, us. Welcome to Geektown is written, narrated, edited, and produced by me, Kurt Onstead. Theme music is by Aaron Lovitz, logo art by Archie Santana. All other sound clips are the copyrighted material of their respective owners, and no infringement is intended, falling under fair use.